Welcome to Deep Talk, the podcast for advanced English learners who are looking to explore something a little bit deeper. My name's Rhiannon and I'm an English teacher and coach. Each week, I invite a different guest onto the show and they choose a text or video they've really loved recently. Together, we talk about the ideas and we invite you to join in on social media. You'll find the link to the text we discuss in the description to this podcast, along with a link for the transcript, which will help you follow the twists and turns of our conversations. We'd always love to know what you think about a specific episode, topic, or text, so please send me a message either via Instagram at RhiannonELT or by email at info@RhiannonELT.com. You'll find the links to both of those in the description. Welcome to episode 18 of Deep Talk. How are you doing? I want to apologise first of all for the delay in this episode. I was on holiday for 2 weeks at the end of November. My partner and I went to the south of Spain for a friend's wedding and then spent the following 10 days or so travelling around Portugal. So no podcast for you then. And then a day or so before flying back to Scotland, I started coughing and I completely lost my voice and spent the next 10 days in bed. So it's been a while, but I trust you would rather the wait than having to listen to the horrendous sound my voice made a few weeks ago. I'm still a teeny bit hoarse, you can hear it, but much, much better. Thank you for asking. We are back with a lovely, gentle conversation with Marisa this week. Our conversation is loosely based on a TED talk by a woman called Catherine Price. We're back with a lovely, gentle conversation with Marisa this week. Our conversation is based loosely on a TED talk by a woman called Catherine Price, all about why fun is the key to a healthier life. Marisa and I share how fun plays a role in our lives and how relieved we were to hear that Catherine's definition has nothing to do with playfulness, since we are neither of us particularly playful. We look at what fun actually consists of and what features make up fun, and we ask why fun is not prioritised in our society and why choosing to put it first is a sort of radical act. I hope you enjoy the episode, and as always, if you want to get involved and share your thoughts and experiences, you can do so in the Deep Talkers Facebook group. We actually have our first face-to-face meeting on Monday, so I will let you know how that goes in our next episode. For now though, on with the chat. My guest today is Marisa. Marisa teaches English for social purposes. She works with Brazilian expats who want to build a healthy relationship with their English. She's currently teaching one-to-one lessons online, as well as leading a small group of over 60s women face-to-face. A self-described introvert, she likes eating out with her family, going for walks, watching YouTube, reading books, and listening to podcasts. Marisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for the invite. I'm so honored, so happy to be here with you.
Amazing. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, yes, and super excited to talk about having fun, which is something that I have to say. I have to admit that I am not that kind of person. I don't usually have so much fun, and maybe that's why I'm so excited about it, because this is something like a decision for me. I am trying to have more fun, and yeah, so far so good. I hope we can have fun together today.
Excellent. Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah, as you say, our topic today is fun, and you've chosen a TED talk for us to discuss, which is titled Why Having Fun is the Secret to a Healthier Life. It's by Catherine Price. Mm-hmm. It's a TED talk. Could you start us off by telling us kind of what it's about generally? Mm-hmm.
So she talks about the importance of having fun, what having fun is, in fact, and how we can add like moments of fun in our lives, in our day to day. And that's it. And the thing that I like a lot about it is that In general, TED Talks, they are so, you know, like there is this seriousness, this element of seriousness, and she mm-hmm. has fun. So as she is talking to the audience, there is a moment when she makes like a rhetorical question and someone from the audience answers. And then she looks at, so she made people feel comfortable and part of that. So I think this is something which made me like it even more and decide to pick. That's why I chose this one when you asked me that we would talk about any topic not related to teaching, because we are both teachers. You were a coach, but you were also a teacher. And then I thought, oh, okay, good. I like the challenge. And that's why I chose that topic and that video.
Yeah, it's always challenging. When my guests are teachers, I have to say, no, you're not allowed to talk about teaching. You're not allowed to talk about language. I know you can talk about that for days, but that's not the topic. We want to talk about other stuff. Yeah, so you mentioned there that she defines fun, and I like how she pulls up the kind of Google Dictionary definition, and I can't remember exactly what it says, but there's this the example of like the children were having fun in the play area, and she says that's just so not the point. Like fun is so much mm-hmm. more than that. Can you tell us how she defines fun?
Yes, because in general when we I was worried about that. In fact, I said, okay, I won't say anything. Let Rhiannon watch the TED Talk. But I thought, maybe she will think that I have chosen something frivolous, because that's exactly the first thing that comes to mind when people think about having fun. Something optional, mm-hmm. something frivolous, something related to, I don't know, being naive, being childish. And it's not at all. I think her definition of fun is like feeling alive.
Yeah.
Yes. So having fun means being energized.
Yeah.
And that's why, because when we are stressed, there is too much cortisol in our blood. and when we are feeling energized, when we are feeling happy or lighthearted, you know, so mm-hmm. it's easier, because we like, for example, what do we need to be healthy? We need to eat healthy. We need to exercise, right? So when you are feeling depleted, you won't have the energy, the necessary energy to go for a walk or to cook a healthy meal. So everything is like intertwined, right?
Yeah. There's something as well about her definition that I really liked, which was that idea of flow. So I think she had a little Venn diagram of three features. And I know playfulness and flow. Can you remember what the third one was?
And connection.
Connection. Yeah. I yes. love the flow in particular, for me, is the main memory that comes when I think about the moments where I have had fun. You know, the real fun, not like 5 minutes of fun, but like a whole evening when I've been, you know, meeting friends, you know, those really, really good friends, the friends that you've had for years and years and years, and you go for a drink and time just flies, and suddenly it's time for them to go home. They've got their train, they've got their bus, they need to leave, or I need to leave. And there's like that sense of, how has it only been 4 hours? This hasn't been enough time, because it's flown. The flow has flown. And that to me is the most standout part of it. I think as well, because I don't necessarily consider myself particularly playful. So a lot of the time, these moments of fun for me are talking about something really serious, or being able suddenly to talk about something really private or really intimate, because these are the few people who I can really open up to. And so to have that, mm-hmm. the playful element wasn't necessarily something that stood out to me, but that flow. Mm. Mwah, love it.
Yeah, so do I. And but then when we can have these three elements together, mm. that's when it's something visceral. It's something Definitely not ordinary. This is something special, yeah. And we don't feel that like all the time. I cannot remember the last time I felt that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that we can pursue.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what she says as well, isn't it? That she has been actively encouraging fun. It's not about saying, you know, today I'm going to have fun, to-do list, fun.
This is, yeah.
I think she says,
this
like,
is
that's
not
going to work.
This is the fastest way to ruin exactly. the fun.
Exactly. But you can say, oh, well, whenever I spend time with this person, I tend to have a really good time. So let's try and spend time with that person more. Or when I'm doing this activity, or when I'm in this particular place. And we can just factor that stuff in and kind of put all the ingredients there. We have some control over the ingredients, and then maybe the magic will happen. Maybe it won't, but it's probably not going to be mm-hmm. a disaster.
Yes, there is something that she says about it. There is this element of serendipity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when things are too planned, we kind of ruin the magic of the moment. So being open, off guard, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, to be permeated by the other person's energy.
Mm.
You know, and we kind of contaminate each other.
In a good way.
That's in a good way. Yeah. You know, when you go to the movies and you were watching, like, I don't know, a funny scene or something, and someone beside you start laughing out loud, and then you laugh even more, it's because that person allowed these people allowed themselves to laugh loud, and then I think this is something contagious when we permit ourselves, we allow ourselves to be a little bit more spontaneous. Mm-hmm. I think having fun has a lot to do with being spontaneous, being authentic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So when people are trying to impress the other too much, you know,
yeah.
even if the person is trying to be like entertaining or funny, it won't work.
I'm interested to know whether you find that easy, because I definitely have, I guess, a problem of often being really up in my head. Like, I find it difficult to get out of my head and into the moment and really enjoying things. And I think that's why I've really held on to that idea of flow and those memories that stand out for me, because that is quite an uncommon situation. I almost always have like an eye on, as if I'm observing myself, paying attention to myself, and not like, you know, what did you just say?
Not in a judgmental way, but just
attention.
Observing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes in a judgmental way, but even in its very quietly judgmental, it's just paying attention to myself quite a lot. And that's something I really struggle with. I don't know if you have a similar experience of finding it difficult to get into that state of flow.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's related to our lifestyle, because now we are kind of multitasking,
right,
a lot. And then being present, doing just one thing, you know, is something which we are not used to doing nowadays.
Yeah.
So we are always having that feeling that we should be doing something else, or we should be observing ourselves. We should be doing things. And then when we allow ourselves to be present, okay, I'll be present. I will enjoy this moment with Rhiannon. And I am going to to connect with her. That's it. That's what I am supposed to do right now. Mm-hmm. And this is so good. But I don't know, we feel like we have so many things to do and so many boxes to check,
yeah,
that we are always anticipating the next hour of our lives, and we forget to live this moment.
Yeah,
right.
I completely agree. I think as well there's a pressure, and perhaps you feel this from being self-employed, it certainly made it worse for me, a pressure to kind of make use of everything. So I was actually speaking to my business coach about this morning, because we realized that I really struggle with rest, which is not the same as saying I work a lot. I don't. But I really struggle to switch off when I'm not working. And it's, I think, because I have internalized this idea that if I go for a walk, it's to stimulate my creativity for work. If I listen to a podcast or read an interesting mm-hmm. article, it's to think of something to share in the Deep Talkers Facebook group or use in the Deep Talk discussion program. If I am doing yoga or going to the gym or working on mindfulness, it's to improve my sense of self for my coaching. For listeners, Marisa has her hand over her face.
I feel you. Oh. Yes, 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 yes. I used to work for a school. Well, technically I still work there because I have a group. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I can remember how I felt when I closed the door, you know, on Friday. Yeah. And then I could like completely forget yeah. about work for 2 days. And now I feel like I have to be thinking all the time, and I am always thinking of content
yeah.
to my Instagram page. And yes, I agree with you. And that's tiring. Yes. Yes. It's consuming. Mm-hmm. It's consuming.
Yeah. And I mean, even for people who aren't self-employed, a few episodes ago, I'm not entirely sure what number this will be, so I don't know how many episodes ago, but I spoke with my friend Anna about burnout, and she was saying that within the advertising industry, which is what she works in, people are encouraged to have a side hustle. You're not allowed a hobby, which might be a great creative kind of outlet for the summer stress of the job. You have to find a way to monetize it. This hobby of yours has to be contributing in some way to you as a person, but not you as a person, you as a brand, you as this kind of image. And she just said it was absolutely exhausting. And I know from speaking to her outside of the podcast that she has been taking her hobbies as hobbies really seriously. So she started drumming. She's not about to join a band. She's 32. Like, probably her musical like ambitions are, you know, she's not going in that direction, but she's drumming because that is something that she can do for her that has nothing to do with her job. And I'm so impressed by that, because even as I see the importance mm-hmm. of it, this huge looming thought of like, but how could you possibly dedicate your time to something that doesn't have a purpose? It just pops up. Even though I don't agree with it, this belief clearly is somewhere deep down.
Yes, she's introducing playfulness to her life.
Yes.
Yes, because she's doing just for the sake of having fun.
Oh, she's an inspiration.
She's not worried about monetizing it. Yes, yes. And we should do it more often.
Yeah.
Right? We, as you said, we are like all the time trying to find a purpose. We should be like evolving. Of course, we have to evolve. But then we need to have this lightness, I would say.
Mm-hmm. What then, I mean, going back to the video perhaps, what are the benefits that Catherine Price talks about when she talks about like this healthier life that we'll be leading if we have more fun?
So the biggest benefit of having fun is the energy that we get from it, because most of our activities, even when they are full of purpose, even when we feel like at the end of the day, when you go to sleep and say, no, congratulations, today.
That was a good day.
You rocked.
You did it.
Yes, you did it. But then you are feeling like tired. Mm-hmm. You are exhausted. And on the other hand, when you have fun, it's like you feel like you have rested. Mm-hmm. It's like meditation. I don't know if you have ever tried, but yoga nidra.
Mm, no.
So, yes, it's a kind of guided meditation.
Oh my God, it sounds amazing. It sounds like exactly what I need.
Yes. Yes. So it's like a guided meditation. And then after that, you feel like, because there are some people that they believe that yoga is meant for calmness. Of course, you will get calm, but after a session of yoga, we feel full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I usually practice it in the morning.
Right.
Because then I will feel like full of energy. And then I, in a way, I would say that having fun is like meditating, because you were present when you were having fun. You are open, you are off guard, you are, yes, I would say that the there is like very similar benefits, very similar effects,
mm-hmm.
positive effects.
Yeah, I can definitely speak to that energy. When I was at university, I came across this idea of different people. I mean, it sounds like something from a women's magazine, so I don't hold it in too high regard, but it was this way to describe different people in your life. And one was as a drain and one was as a radiator. So basically people who drain your energy or people who radiate their own energy and that kind of fill you up. And it's, I guess, a different way of describing this thing. And yeah, there are people, and it's not always that the same person is the same thing. It might just be on a particular day this interaction drained you, whereas on another day it might have energized you. But we all know times where we've gone for a coffee with a friend, and maybe we've known beforehand that this probably wasn't going to be the best day for it, but we've done it anyway because we like our friend and it's been too long and we cancelled last time and all of this stuff. And we go, and the conversation, and this is a good friend, the conversation just feels like a little bit of effort.
Mm-hmm.
A conversation finishes and you sort of have to think of the next thing to say, like the exact opposite of that flow idea. And I think we all can recognize that experience, and we can all recognize the opposite. And yet to be in a situation where you're like, oh, I could do that again. Like getting off a water slide and being like running straight back up to the top of it, like, yes.
Yeah, so can I ask you a question? Because you were asking me questions, but do you think that there are some people, they are like shaped for that? Like they are born, they have fun more easily than others? Because I am thinking of my students, and I think most of them, they tend to have fun,
mm-hmm.
during our lessons, and for so many reasons. I think the first is because the purpose, so why they decided to study English, so it's for social,
mm-hmm.
purpose. They are not like trying to pass an exam or getting a job. It's not for like a job interview. So when they come for class, they are like open to experimenting,
mm-hmm.
and interacting, and there is no much pressure on them, I think.
Mm.
Yes, I don't know. So is it more related to people's personality, or it's more related to, like, for example, the same friend of yours? If you were having a conversation about work, then you will tend to have less fun than when you are with the same friend having some coffee, or some, there are some people that they can have fun like all the time, because that's what I am trying to do. I am trying to have more moments of fun during the whole day. I don't want to, okay, now, as you said, now it's time for fun. No. I want to see things in a more lighthearted way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yes. But I guess so certainly in my early 20s, I feel like it's been a while since I've thought this, but certainly in my early 20s, I would get really jealous of people who I was probably just jealous of extroverts, people who just seemed to be able to let go. And they were like, yeah, I'm going to have a good time. And they wouldn't be constantly in their head, like I described earlier, which is my like default position. And so I guess part of me says that, yeah, some people are probably more hardwired to just let go and be present and find that easier. Mm. But equally, it's a skill that you can practice. And that same person might find it less easy if they're life suddenly got really difficult and really stressful. So I wonder if it's a combination of learned skill and maybe a bit of personality and situation. I mean, there are times obviously when I find myself more stressed or less stressed, and that's going to impact on the fun I have. Yeah, I don't know.
Likewise, yes. Oh, but I feel hopeful now. Yes, because I don't think I was born this way. This is something that I am working on. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it takes prioritizing it. And that's sort of what she's saying in the video, Catherine Price. Like, she's, again, not scheduling in the scheduling sense, but scheduling as in prioritizing it, saying, I value fun as much as I value productivity. I value fun as much as I value getting shit done. I value just enjoying something for the sake of it as much as I value doing something in order to achieve something else. And that is, I think, a brave choice in our society. That isn't the general way that we measure value.
Yes. Yes, we are going against the tide, and I love that. Yes, there is something about going against the tide, which is, I don't know, which attracts me, and yes.
Mm-hmm. I think, Marisa, we're going to finish the conversation on fun there. Thank you so much for raising it. As I say, it couldn't have come at a better time for me, because on the day we are recording this, as I said, I had a meeting with my coach, which was all about rest and all about priorities and all about this stuff. So it feels like almost an extension of that conversation. Before we say goodbye to you, I want to know a little bit more about the work that you do and how folk can work with you or kind of follow you on Instagram, the kind of stuff you post about, because I think I was saying to you before we started recording, I came across your stuff, I think, from Learn Your English, who you work with and who might have shared your stuff, I don't know, a year ago when I came across your page. And you had a huge influence on me because you were one of the first teacher accounts that I remember, not necessarily the first I saw, but the first I'm still following now. Who were not talking about vocabulary, who were not focusing on phrasal verbs and basic English and advanced English and the kind of stuff that I really struggled with Instagram, because I couldn't work out how on earth I was going to work on this platform if that was all it was. And then you came along, you popped up, and I thought, oh, maybe this isn't all that it is. So I have a lot to thank you for.
Oh, thank you. Yes, my teaching philosophy is that we have to learn by using the language. So I basically work with emergent language. So I do believe that we have to learn through a real, meaningful interactions. Mm-hmm. Because when we are truly interacting, I mean, when we are deep interacting with each other, that's when things become memorable. And then that's it. So if we are talking about our neighbors, it's not relevant enough mm-hmm. to build this rapport, which will lead to memorable stuff. So I am a teacher. I teach grammar. I teach lexis, but it has to be meaningful.
Yeah,
the message has to come first. So what I do is I try to help people notice the language. So if there is a quote that I like, I will post that quote. Mm-hmm. And of course, I will use colors. I will comment on, an aspect of the language which was used or something. But it cannot be like the focus of the lesson. We cannot like learn the grammar and lexis to display, you know, yeah. Like, okay, so now let's create here a fake conversation just for the sake of displaying what we have pretensively learned.
Theoretically learned, maybe? Yeah.
Theoretically learned. Thank you.
Yeah, that reminds me of a conversation. One of my coaching clients is unlike any of my other coaching clients, so I don't want anyone listening to think this is what I normally do. He came to me and he was like, I like what you do, but I'd like something different. I went, okay. And he runs a language school in Mexico, and we tend to talk more about running a language school because I have lots of experience not running language schools but working in language schools. And he's putting together his syllabus and he's training his teachers and he wants my input on that. And an analogy that we came up with when we were talking about grammar was a jigsaw. And he was great. He said, you would never try to put a jigsaw together without seeing the picture first. And for me, that's just English in practice, just using it. So you've read something and you've listened to something and you've focused on the meaning and you get how it all is supposed to come together. When you feel comfortable with the picture, then you can start looking at the individual bits that made that picture come together. So a grammatical item or a particular structure or lexis. And that was just such a great way, I think, of us kind of clicking what that what that meant.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, exactly. I think we have a very, very similar ways of seeing things and learning, education, and all these aspects. Yes. Yeah.
So people can find you on Instagram. What's your handle? I'll make sure to pop it in the bio as well.
So it's @entender_pra_aprender.
Wonderful.
It's in Portuguese.
Understanding yes. to learn, something like that.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Fantastic. And I think you do a mix of Portuguese and English content. Yes. Is that right?
Yes. In general, I record reels in Portuguese because I want to attract more people to my page.
Fair enough.
there is an element of marketing there. But then the posts are all in English, and stories, I usually record them in English. Sometimes when I am talking about deep feelings or if I'm just sharing something about me, like the backstage, sometimes I might record it in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But then people, if they can't speak Portuguese, they would just skip those ones.
Yeah. Sometimes I
or not.
Sometimes I try to listen and see how my Duolingo Portuguese compares to the real world. My combination of Duolingo Portuguese and Spanish means that I sometimes understand what you're talking about, but not often. Excellent. All right. As I say, Marisa, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you so much for picking this topic.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. It was amazing.
My thanks again to Marisa for choosing the topic and for being such a calming voice. As I said at the end there, the day we recorded this, I had had a difficult call with my coach. A little bit of crying was done on my part as we started to dig into some of my beliefs around work and rest. And it really did feel like a gift to get to speak to Marisa that afternoon about priorities and about how to bring a little more fun, joy into our days. It left me feeling slightly more settled. I would love to know your thoughts on the conversation, what it made you think about, what it reminded you of. Obviously, we have the Deep Talkers Facebook group, but you are also welcome to send in an email the traditional way. I would love for kind of sharing your emails and comments to become a bit of a feature of this podcast, but for that, I do need some emails and comments. So please do get in touch. You can find all of the contact details in the episode description. That is all from me today. We're hopefully back to our regular every other week schedule for the foreseeable now, although with this weather and everyone's immune systems in the toilet, honestly, who knows? But I certainly hope to be back with you in 2 weeks' time. If you are celebrating Christmas, I wish you a very happy Christmas because I won't speak to you before then. If you are celebrating other holidays or nothing at all, I also wish you the very best time. For now though, I've been Rhiannon. This has been Deep Talk. Have a wonderful day.